Today I'll be reading John chapter 7, verses 19 through 24. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me? The people answered and said, You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment.
Last Sunday morning, we dealt with John chapter 7, the whole thing, which was like drinking from a fire hose. I understand that. That's a kind of a large bite to take. But really, we did that as a kind of an introduction opportunity for somebody to carry that further. And then last Sunday morning, we said that we're going to look at what Trey read this morning about judging. Everybody judges. It's impossible not to. And in fact, we're supposed to. Everybody's supposed to do this in one way or another. It is expected. Of course, the problem that's being discussed there in John chapter 7 is doing it in the wrong kind of way. So today we're going to give rules from our Lord. We're going to give some rules about judging that Jesus establishes in His Word. And of course, I really appreciated what Dennis said this morning when he talked about John 13, 34. A new commandment I give you. The fundamental key to every one of us in this room, the fundamental key to our ability to judge in the right kind of way is the love that's in our heart. That is it with all of that. So Jesus says this as he talks about this. So here's what we're doing this morning is talking about judging by appearance. Friday night, Becky and I, we walk around the block, you know, to get exercise. That's not much exercise, but whatever. And we're going by this house. The people had just moved in, I don't know, it wasn't too long ago. And they had one of the nicest looking Mercedes I've ever seen. It was a CL380, I think. Really nice looking car. And the bottom left-hand taillight was on. And that was it. Now, what's weird about that? When your taillights are on, both of them are on. I mean, you know, that's how that is. And so normally I would have thought, okay, you know, it's one of those cars where if you get out of it, the lights stay on for a little while and you go inside. Well, it was just one light. The other side wasn't on at all. So I mentioned that to Becky, and so I walk down the sidewalk, and I'm looking in the kind of the kitchen window to see if there's a light on in there, and Becky's walked around to the front of the car to see if the front lights are on. And down the street comes another car, and I mean they're doing 100 miles an hour. And they come rolling through the turn, you know, because we're right on a corner house, and I'm thinking, man, those people need to slow down. Well, they pull right up in the driveway. It's the people who own the car and live at the house. And I thought, man, they're just driving way too fast. Well, they get out of the car, and I said, hey, did you know that, you know, so we start talking. Come to find out their car had been broken into about 3 weeks earlier, and they thought we were breaking in again. Becky had a hoodie on, you know, and I had a big fleece jacket, and I could have put a spare tire under there and all these different things, you know. So they were really nice. We got to meet them, Wade and Rita, and they invited us in their house, so we cased that in case we wanted to steal anything. But it's just one of those things that just happens all the time, and it happens here in John chapter 7. Now, the problem in John chapter 7 is they're going to lose their salvation with the judging that they're making. They're going to lose their Lord over this because they're judging only by appearance. And I think we all understand that when it says don't judge by appearance, but judge righteous judgment, any kind of judgment that we engage in really deserves more than just an initial thought process. You know, it deserves to think more deeply and to investigate more deeply, just like Wade and Rita with us breaking in their car or anything like that. Doesn't make any difference at all, none whatsoever. And we being human beings, there are times when maybe we cannot investigate any further. Maybe we just see somebody doing something and we're driving by and we think, oh, that person's doing this or that. We have no idea. That's the great thing about God being the judge. I mean, it's just awesome that God is the judge because He knows everything. He knows the problems that you've had in your life that nobody else knows about. And He knows how you've struggled with them. And He knows the depth of your love. I mean, God knows all of that, which is just so wonderful. In this instance, when we're looking at this in John chapter 7, we're gonna bring out like some laws that have to do here in John chapter 7 and as well as other places where we can make some of these rules to help us in the judgments that we use. Now, this is what's going on in John chapter 7. Jesus is talking about Him healing on the Sabbath day, and then He brings up the fact that they circumcise young boys that are born 8 days earlier. You know, they engage in the act of circumcision on the Sabbath day. And so what this does, it provides a category. And this category is laws that seem to be in conflict with one another. And I suppose that this was more true back in the Jews' day, maybe than it is in our day. Perhaps, I don't know. You would have to be the one that would think about that. But whatever the case, here's what happens. In Matthew chapter 12, this comes up. This topic about laws that seem to be in conflict with one another come back up all the time in the four Gospels, just repeatedly. In Matthew chapter 12, and I'm just going to reference this. I'll kind of talk about it here to explain it. In Matthew 12 and verse 5, Jesus and His disciples had been walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath day. They had plucked some grain, apparently, and were eating it, and the Pharisees said, "You're breaking the Sabbath." So Jesus talks to them about it. And what He's doing, He's talking to them about their judgment process. And He says in that passage of Scripture, have you not read that the priests profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Why? How can that possibly be? Well, I just put that one thing up there, necessity of duty. There are things that, especially in the law of Moses, that people had to do, activities that had to be taken care of on the Sabbath day for the Sabbath day to even begin to be. And that's what Jesus is saying about the priests. Technically speaking, they profane the Sabbath, but they're blameless in the sight of God because everybody, and I should say with any common sense, everybody understands that there is a thing called the necessity of duty. The Jews understood that. In fact, that's the point that Jesus is making in Matthew chapter 12. Have you not read that the priests profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Well, they knew that. He's just pointing out something they already knew. It's not that He's giving them new information. What He's doing there in Matthew chapter 12 is pointing out something they already accepted. They were totally willing to accept the fact that the priests had to work on the Sabbath. They knew that. That was totally just something that they knew to be true in their minds. So when we start talking about judgments and different things along that line, and we start talking about God's laws, We understand that there are necessities, just like this one in Matthew chapter 12. And it's the same thing in John chapter 7. And so I've got two things here. You've got the necessity of duty in Matthew chapter 12. And then I've got the harmony of duty in John chapter 7. So here's the dilemma, you know. It's the Sabbath day, but it's the eighth day for this young child and he needs to be circumcised. What do we do? Is there a way to harmonize those two laws? Is there a way to honor both of those laws in the right kind of way? Well, sure there is. You make a decision in your heart in good faith about which one is, in your mind, the most responsible, and you leave the judgment up to God about that. They talk about higher law and lower law, and that's not mentioned anywhere in Scripture. But I just want you to notice that in John chapter 7, Jesus says, you do this and you accept it and you know that this is the way that things work sometimes. So why, if you're willing to circumcise a young boy on the eighth day, on the Sabbath day, why are you upset with me when I made a man completely well on the Sabbath day? So what he's trying to do is trying to get them to not just stop their thinking at one particular point, but continue to reason forward. So many times when you and I make mistakes in our judgments, it's because we don't continue to reason forward about things. So with this, here's the first law that we could, rule number one. There is a way that we understand the necessities of God's laws, and there's a way that we can understand the harmony of God's laws, and that's just talked about all the way through Scripture. And that's what Jesus is pointing out to these people right here. They're trying to act like, and they're making this superficial judgment that Jesus is breaking some kind of law, and he's not breaking any kind of law at all. So, you know, who's got the heart of love? Does Jesus have the heart of love, or do they have the heart of love? You know, so this whole idea of being consistent with this just flows all the way through this. When we have our duties to God, we understand when necessity comes around, you know. I've mentioned this. I've preached here so long, I've mentioned everything. So I know I say that. When my brother died, you know, we didn't go to worship service that night. And I think God understand. There are duties that are part of your life that sometimes bring you into a place where you have to make different kinds of decisions. And God totally understands that, I think. In Acts chapter 20, remember that? Acts chapter 20, the disciples met on the first day of the week to partake the Lord's Supper. That's what they were intended to do. Paul continued his speech until midnight, like normal preachers. And Eutychus was sitting in the window and fell out of the window and killed himself. And it stopped the service. And they go down and Paul brings him back to life, and then they go back up and take the Lord's Supper. And somebody who wants to, you know, if they want to judge on a technicality, will say, well, see, it was the next day. It wasn't the first day of the week. It was after midnight, and here we go with all of this. You know, God understands the responsibility that you and I have when sometimes duties conflict and there are judgments that we make with a good and honest heart about how we resolve those. Exactly like this circumcision Sabbath thing that we're looking at here in John chapter 7. I don't know, there could have been, and I've never read it, so this is just pure speculation here. There could have been Jews who said, well, you know what? I'm going to honor the Sabbath day and I'm going to circumcise this boy on the ninth day. Now, I don't know that they could have made that decision, but what they were trying to do was they were trying to honor the complete duty that they had with regard to both of those laws. Now, once again, I don't want you to misunderstand me. No, it never says that they did that. It kind of says that they always resolved it the way it's talked about in John chapter 7. But they resolved it. So God knows all this. God understands all of this. Now the problem, okay, the problem comes in when somebody will hear me say that, or they'll hear Jesus basically say this, and they'll say, well, that means that law doesn't matter. Well, yeah, it does. It does, because he killed Nadab and Abihu for not doing what they should have done, and he killed Uzzah for not doing what he should have done, you know. And those were ceremonial laws. So, yeah, law does matter. When necessity comes about, you know, there are judgments that are part of that. And we just have to be really, really careful when we go down that road. All right. Okay, second thing, law and compassion. And really, really what we're talking about with Acts chapter 20 is really this right here. Not only is it the circumcision on the seventh, or the seventh day thing just mentioned so much, this comes up in the Gospels over and over again, too. Animals get into trouble, you know. Animals are that way. They fall into pits. They get themselves stuck in a ditch. And if you don't get them out, they're going to die. And the Jews understood. I mean, you know, we talk about this necessity kind of thing. The Jews understood that it was okay to make the judgment, and if their animal was in distress and going to die on the Sabbath day, they could get it out. Jesus makes that observation. So what Jesus does is, on the Sabbath day, there's a guy who comes into the synagogue with a withered hand. And just exactly like the Jews have compassion on the animal, he has compassion on the man with a withered hand. And so he heals him. And they get mad at him for it. In fact, they become furious at him for it. And then we've got the lame man, which is John chapter 5. He healed him on the Sabbath day because he had compassion for him. And you've got the man that was born blind, just on and on and on it goes. I mean, on and on it goes. So Matthew chapter 12 and verse 12, Jesus, and this is in the context of when he healed the man with the withered hand. He looks at them, because they're furious at him, and he looks at them and says, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Now, there's a judgment that's involved in that. Yeah, okay. So, but he says, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Or, and then you reverse it, is it unlawful to do good on the Sabbath? And you know what the text says that they said? Nothing. They wouldn't answer him. They would not answer him because, for a couple of reasons. Number one, they knew that they pulled animals out of ditches on the Sabbath. They knew that they had made that judgment. And so somewhere in their heart, they must have felt at least a twinge of inconsistency with compassion for an animal and no compassion for a man with a withered hand. And that is one of the problems. It's one of the problems, which is really what we've already said, when we start talking about judgment. It's the mercy that somebody has in their heart. If they've lost the mercy for their fellow human beings, their judgment is going to be faulty. And that kind of faulty judgment was impeding their ability to accept Jesus as the Christ. Good Samaritan is exactly what we're talking about right now. The priest and the Levite who were walking down that road did not know if the man was dead or not. If they touched him and he was dead, they were unclean. Now, they could get clean again. There was a process they had to go through to get clean, ceremonially clean. But if they touched him, they were unclean. And so they weren't going to take that chance. Their whole view of religion and their whole view of their relationship to God caused them to lose their mercy for fellow human beings in distress. And so they lost the whole sense of compassion. And that is what the story of the Good Samaritan is all about. It's one of those things that the Pharisees for sure are characterized in this particular kind of way as one of the great losses in their life. So you go back to John 5. Why were they upset with Jesus? Because he healed this lame man on the Sabbath. You go to Matthew chapter 12. Why were they upset with Jesus? Because, you know, he healed this man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. Luke chapter 10. Why would they not touch the dead man? Because they didn't want to be unclean. It all has to do with this lack of compassion. Whenever somebody has gotten to the point in their life where worship trumps compassion, they're in a wrong place. Because worship doesn't trump compassion. Worship never becomes a replacement for compassion. I use this illustration. I love it. A friend of mine back in Alabama, she and her son were riding to church. There was a wreck right in front of them. She starts pulling over to help. Her son says, if we stop, we won't make it to church. And she said, if we don't stop, there won't be any point in going to church. That's exactly right. That is the priest and the Levite walking down that road and seeing that man in distress. There is no point in the world for them to go wherever they're going to worship if they're not going to stop and help this guy. So God's responsibilities that we have in our life always work within the framework of compassion. It's like Eutychus falling out the window in Acts chapter 20. Should they have said, stop, we'll get to him later. We need to take the Lord's Supper because it's going to stop being the first day of the week any second now. No. I think Paul had already blown through midnight with his sermon. I think that's what's said there. Somebody should have stood up and shouted to Paul, wait a minute. Don't say another word, you know. And you know what the opposite of that is? People say, well, see, therefore the Lord's Supper doesn't matter. That is not what's being taught in Acts chapter 20. The premise upon which they met was on the first day of the week to take the Lord's Supper. That's what they were there to do. Now, when circumstances contrived where they were not able to do that, that doesn't mean that the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week is not important anymore. That's not the conclusion to be drawn from that. Now, with this, law number two, or rule number two, and this is what Jesus says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He says that in Matthew chapter 9. He says that in Matthew chapter 12. It is a quotation from the book of Hosea. If somebody has no mercy in their heart, all the sacrifices in the world are not going to make them right with God. If you go back to Hosea, you know, where all this quotation starts, they thought that as long as they went up and offered a sacrifice to God, they could act like they wanted to during the rest of the week. Well, of course not. And the Pharisees kind of felt the same way. As long as they were engaging in the right sacrifice process, then it kind of didn't matter what was going on in their heart. They were just as wrong as their ancestors were about that. Now that's Matthew chapter 9 is what that is. In Matthew chapter 12, and I know we're not reading this, but in Matthew chapter 12 it's that the disciples picking the grain, and Jesus had said, have you not read what the priests did on the Sabbath? They profane it and are blameless, and we referenced that just a few minutes ago. But right after that, He quotes this verse, and here's what he says. If you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the blameless. If you had known what this means, you would have made a correct judgment about this. And that was the Pharisees' problem. They went around condemning innocent people for things that they were innocent of. They went around all the time saying people were to be blamed for things that they weren't to be blamed for. And it's all poor judgment. It's all terrible judgment is what it is. So you and I, this is a really important key for you and I too about our ability to judge righteously and not just by appearance, is if we understand how this works. What God wants is a heart that's filled with mercy. And just going up to an altar and engaging in a kind of sacrifice there doesn't cover an unmerciful heart. Because the heart is always what God wants. And that's going to be the thing. A heart of mercy is going to be the thing that gives all of us, you and me, the real ability to judge accurately. If the Jews had had a heart of mercy when Jesus healed the man with the withered hand, what would they have thought? If they had had a heart of mercy when he healed the man that had been lame for 38 years, what would they have thought? I mean, you know, it just goes all around with all of this about this being the key. Love is always the key. Mercy is always the key to personal judgment. Because that's what personal judgment stands on. It is the foundation upon which everything that we do toward other people stands, is if it's done in love. All right. So that's rule number two. Tradition. Oh, man. We totally get into, I mean, really get into our circumstances today, just like they did back then. Because Jesus differed with the Jews' tradition, all right, the Pharisees assumed that he differed with Scripture. It's the same thing that happens today. People cannot differentiate between what is a human tradition and what is God's law. They couldn't do it then, and lots of times they can't do it today. All right? So here's some examples. Number one, when you talk about fasting over in Mark chapter 2, they got mad at Jesus because his disciples didn't fast. In Matthew chapter 15, they got really mad at Jesus because his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate, which has nothing to do with hygiene, you know. It had to do with a ceremonial tradition there. So let's talk about fasting for just a minute. Here's the problem. Under Jewish law, under the law of Moses, there was one commanded fast, just one. And that was during the Day of Atonement. Okay, so what the Pharisees did was they went through the mental process, which is nothing wrong with this. Okay, you're with me here. I'm saying there's nothing wrong with this. They decided that fasting more often was very beneficial. So, you know, so they kind of set the standard of fasting twice a week. Some of them did. Now, the problem with that became they decided they were more spiritual than anybody else because they fasted twice a week. And their tradition became the more spiritual thing to do. And they judged other people who didn't decide what they decided. And they belittled other people who didn't decide what they decided. And they judged their true spiritual faith based upon human tradition and not upon the law of God. How many times did God command the Jew to fast? We already answered it. Once a year. So what if you only fasted once a year? So what? Okay, human traditions creep in, you know, and they crept in Jesus' day. So they're judging Jesus and they're judging his disciples by how often they fast, which God only said once. But they've made up new rules. Same thing is true with hand washing, you know. The Jews didn't wash their hands for hygiene. They thought that if they touched something that a Gentile had touched, then they were unclean. And if they were going to eat, you know, they didn't want to put their hands on an unclean this or that and then touch their mouth, and then they felt like they were all unclean. And so this all had to do with ceremonial cleanness. And so the Jews had this particular way. They would pour the water this way and let it drip down, and then they would hold their hand up and pour the water that way and let it drip down. It's a very, very involved way to wash your hands to get all the uncleanness off. Jesus didn't do that. Neither did his disciples. God never commanded it. And so when he didn't do that, they judged by appearance and said, "You're not a righteous man, and your disciples are not righteous." You know. Okay. Now, okay, I've got 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15 here for a reason. In the New Testament, depending on your version, it says in that passage that Paul is talking to the Thessalonians, and he said, "I want you to obey the traditions that I delivered to you." That is not the same as what we're talking about right now. Okay. You look up other versions, it means teaching, it means commandments, it means instructions. It does not mean human tradition. So I just threw that up there in case somebody, after they heard this sermon, would say, "But Brother Barnes, 2 Thessalonians says traditions." So it's not talking about that with that. Okay. Romans 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10. Those are New Testament passages that talk about human traditions, matters of opinion. Have you ever gotten your Bible out and seen how many verses that comprises? That's 96 verses. God spends 96 verses in the epistles talking about this problem. I never looked up how many verses before, but I did for this sermon. And I kind of just never realized it was so much. 96 verses about judging people based on matters of indifference. Matters of opinion. Matters that are simply just traditions that people have about things. And so here's rule number 3. Never, ever judge someone's faith based on human traditions. That's a wrong way to judge. They judged Jesus like that, and they were just so wrong. And it's kind of common for people to do this. People get a good idea, and it is a good idea. There's nothing wrong with good ideas. But all of a sudden, good ideas turn into laws, and they're not laws. So, okay. So that's rule number 3 about judging. Rule number 4, not rule number 4, instance number 4. I think maybe one of the hard things to do is to be consistent in our judging. In Matthew chapter 12, and we've referenced Matthew 12 a couple of times already, that whole section there is dealing with this whole thing. This is, again, when Jesus and his disciples had been walking through the grain fields and they ate some grain. The disciples say, "You're doing what's wrong." And then Jesus turns to them and says, "Have you not read what David did? How he and those that were with him ate the showbread which was not lawful for him to eat." And he just stops right there. He doesn't say anything more. I mean, about that. Have you not read that? Here's the thing. In order to be consistent, if they were going to condemn Jesus, they were going to have to condemn David too. That's one of the challenges, so to speak, about judgments that we make. We may give our friends a pass, or we may give people that we like a pass and then not give somebody else a pass. That's unfair. And that's wrong. That's why Jesus is saying that. They needed to look in their heart about why they would give somebody else, you know, a get out of jail free card, so to speak, but they wouldn't give anybody else one. So what they needed to do was think, once again, think more deeply, go further with their thinking process, and at least acknowledge that they're being seriously inconsistent. There's a serious inconsistency in the way they treat people about this particular topic. For with what judgment you judge, it shall be given back to you, Jesus says. So the whole idea of being consistently fair is part of the biblical text. Now, in Matthew 12, again, same passage, we preached the sermon about the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I can't remember how many weeks ago it was, but that's what that's talking about in Matthew 12 and verse 7, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says to his accusers, if I'm casting out Satan, if I'm casting out demons by the power of Satan, how do your sons cast him out? Now, they weren't going to condemn their sons, but they were going to condemn Jesus. And it's the same point. And it's kind of interesting that in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 3, he makes that point, and in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 27, he makes the same point again to the same group of people. If you accuse me of casting out the demons by Satan, tell me how your sons cast him out. Explain to me the difference between their ability to cast it out and then my ability to cast it out. And see, once again, it's this thinking more clearly about this whole thing. Not superficially, not just by appearance, but thinking more deeply and more, really, really more consistently about it. So rule number four, and this is what we try to do with our, we try to do this with our children. I know we want to do this. And we really, of course, want to do this with everybody. We want to be consistent and we want to be reasonable. Reasonable with all of this. All right, so here's our rules for what all of this goes, just with this. This will help us so much. This will help us as we deal with other people. It will help us in our spiritual depth. It will just make a big difference in our lives. There is an understanding that God has with the laws that He has about necessity and harmony. He knows how those fit together, and He understands us in regard to that. And He wants us to understand the premise of mercy as it connects to sacrifice. That'll make a big difference in judging. And we never judge by our personal traditions. And then we are consistent and reasonable in all of this. If the Jews had done that, they would not have denied their Savior. If the Jews, I mean, that's just the most, that is like the ultimate penalty for poor judgment. If the Jews had done that, they would have not denied their Savior. And that's how serious all that is. But their whole society would have been better. The way that they treated people would have been much, much better. You know, churches would be better. Local congregations would be better. People's lives would be better if they just really focused in on these rules about not judging by appearance, but judging with righteous judgment, the kind of judgment that God wants. So thanks very much. This is going to be our invitation song this morning. If you're here, you'd like to become a child of God, please let us assist you in that. Let us do whatever we can to help you. If you want to respond to Christ's invitation, or if we can pray for you, come to the front while we stand and sing.